I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Another day, another tweet storm from the president-elect. Yesterday, it was about illegal voting, no evidence to the claim. Today, it's flag burning, which Donald Trump tweeted ought to be punished with jail time or maybe a loss of citizenship. The Supreme Court might refer Trump to the First Amendment on that one. It appears that facts don't always matter to him, nor it seems do freedom of expression and other democratic norms. Even more concerning, perhaps, Trump's kind of rhetoric is popular with a lot of people who don't seem to care that much about this stuff either, and not just here in the United States. So what is going on with democracy? Maybe it isn't that popular anymore. Yasha Monk is a professor of government at Harvard, and for several years now, he's been measuring the health of democracies around the world.
For the last 20 or 30 years, there've been all kinds of worrying signs. Voter participation has gone down in a lot of countries. People are less and less satisfied with particular governments. They no longer trust politicians. Approval ratings for Congress, parliaments, and so on are very, very low. And so a couple of years ago, I started thinking, well, what if we should take these warning signs seriously? How can we figure out whether people are just getting more critical, more demanding of a political system, or whether they actually are disenchanted with democracy in a deep way? And so I started looking at three measures of what I call regime legitimacy. The first is simply, how important is it to people to live in a democracy? The second is, are they open to authoritarian alternatives, to democratic rule, like, say, having the army rule? And the third is whether you see anti-system parties, movements, politicians who really don't like the democratic system, who violate its core norms, gain a lot of power. And across each of these three dimensions, the warning signs have been flashing red.
Right. And you're talking about democracies, not just the United States, but all over the world, right? So what is the big trend?
Right. So, for example, when we look at, is it important to people to live in a democracy? It's very clear across the board that young people are disenchanted, that it's not as important to them. So, for example, looking at the United States, people born in the 1930s, the 1940s, asked on a scale of 1 to 10 how important it is to them to live in a democracy. Over two-thirds say 10 out of 10, absolutely essential. Once you get to younger people born in 1980 or later, millennials, less than one-third say it's essential to them to live in a democracy. And you see really strikingly similar trends in Great Britain, in France, in New Zealand, lots of places around the world.
Yeah, and what about the warning signs here in the United States? What do you see here in this country? I mean, are younger people ready to, like in Venezuela or in Egypt, ready to hand things over to a military ruler?
I mean, obviously, I don't think that we can compare the United States today to Venezuela or Egypt in a straightforward way. Yeah. But yes, the number of people who are open to authoritarian rule has really gone up in the United States. Among all people, 1 in 16 Americans in 1995 said that army rule is a good system of government. By 2015, it was 1 in 6. And when you look at only young and affluent people, it's actually gone up from 6 to 36%. That's a six-fold increase over the course of 20 years. But the most worrying sign in the United States is simply the complete erosion of democratic norms in the political system. Political scientists have believed that democracies are stable when democracy is the only game in town, when everybody who matters accepts democratic norms. And now we have a president-elect who has violated democratic norms at every turn of a debate, of a campaign, who has threatened to jail his political opponent, who has threatened not to accept the outcome of the election. And you see him say today, not just that people who burn the American flag should be punished, but that they should have the citizenship revoked from them. All of these are authoritarian behaviors, and the fact that the president-elect is able to engage in them and that he hasn't been roundly denounced for it by members of his own party are real signs of an erosion of democratic norms here in the United States.
Do you believe that white people who feel threatened by different identities are willing to give up a bit of democracy to get, you know, to reassert some personal power?
Right. I think here it's important to distinguish between democracy and liberal democracy. Right. They don't want to give up on democracy in the sense that they want the army to rule. But they have a vision of democracy that is very hierarchical, that gets rid of independent power centers that somehow impede the expression of a popular will, and that's deeply disdainful of minority rights and human rights. So when you look at what Poland or Hungary or Turkey are headed towards, it's not a matter of them rebelling against democracy as such. it's a matter of them wanting to give an, a liberal cast to democracy. So they do want to have elections. They do want to be able to vote for, you know, a populist leader who claims to speak for the people, to express the popular will in his person. But then they also want to give this leader the right to disregard the interests and the rights of minorities, to undermine independent institutions like courts, to use things like the Internal Revenue Service or the Department of Justice in order to serve his political goals. So what we're entering is an era in which the regime form we've known, liberal democracy, but as two constituent elements, is breaking apart. And we're increasingly seeing the rise of illiberal democracy or democracy without riots taking its place.
Yasha Monk, professor of government at Harvard, on a train to New York. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you so much.